20, picking up where we left off last week in the ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. If you're able, stand with me in honor to the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ownership is where we're at today. Ownership. How many of y'all own something? Raise your hand. Amen. Even the young folks are raising their hand. You know, nowadays, young folks have iPhones and cell phones. Amen. When I was little, I could barely even use the phone. Amen. And now they've got iPhones and all sorts of things. So 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Everybody there say amen. Any old me's? Okay. All right, read with me in verse number 19. And notice it starts with one word and a question mark. I didn't know you could make a sentence out of one word. Amen. Notice what it says. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Another question mark. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're talking about the ownership today, and we started this last week. Say, preacher, what does ownership mean? It means having authority rights over something that's been legally purchased or having legal rights to the possession of something. So all of us that own something here, it's been purchased or given to us and put into our charge. And so we own it. And as you see up here, where's my ownership at? Amen. There it is towards the bottom here. The last one on the list, next to the bottom of the list there, ownership. You and I, if we are saved, have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a word of caution. If you have not been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he is not your owner in the respect of salvation. There is someone else who owns you. Say, preacher, who is that? He's called the devil. And you want to get out of his hands and get into the ownership hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the ownership hands of the devil, he will ruin and wreck your life and make things miserable for you. But in the ownership, oh, I've got a good father. He takes good care of me as a son. He watches over me, and I belong to him, and he belongs to me. Amen. So let's talk about the ownership today. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that we have been bought by the precious blood of Christ and we're saved here today. And Lord, I do pray that your hand of mercy may guide, direct, and lead us. Show us what we need to do today by way of the word of God. And Lord, show us the truths that you have for us to abide by. We're so thankful to be here in the house of God today. I pray you'd bless in the children's area next door. You give Brother Neil the liberty to teach and preach the word of God there. They may be instructed on their level. Then here, Lord, by the Holy Spirit's power, anoint my lips that I may say what I need to say, that I may be filled with your spirit, your power, Lord, to say what you would have me to say. And then, Lord, may every heart that is here be opened. May every ear here be attentive. May every eye be zeroed in on the things of God. And I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl here today that is not involved with the ownership of Jesus Christ and he is not their savior, they would make sure of that today and transfer ownership from the devil into the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've already paid for us. It's done. It's finished at the cross. Your death, your burial, your resurrection has completed that transaction. Now we just need to receive eternal life in Jesus. I do thank you so much, Lord. Teach us from your word how we can glorify you in the ownership, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Antoinette is going to sing for us today.
Mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, children through like he said he would, even in the valley. God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, my God is good. Even in the valley, God is good.
Thank you, Miss Antoinette. That song never gets old to me. Even in the valley, God is good. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. Say, preacher, what about the circumstances of my life? What about them? God still, it doesn't make God bad because your circumstances are bad. Amen. God is still good. Amen. And we need to just have God, and God makes everything okay. Amen. And I do tell you, sometimes it gets hard to remember that. It really does, but God is still good all the time. Well, we're going to talk about the ownership today. I gave you the definition already. Ownership is having authority rights over something legally purchased or having legal rights to the possession of something. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and sorry about that, guys. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and they're owned by God. I said, preacher, how do you know that? Hold your finger there in chapter 6, all the way back to chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And notice what Paul writes in verse number 1, to know that they are owned by God. Verse number 1 of chapter, when Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are what? Sanctified or set apart, where? In Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints, I'm saved, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if I've called on Jesus, that means I'm saved, I'm a saint, I'm sanctified, I'm saved by the glory of God. And so once I'm saved, guess what? I transfer ownership from the devil to God Almighty, and he has control of my life now, amen, as my owner. By the way, how many own something? All of us raised our hands, amen. Many of us own bikes, we own clothes, we own PCs, iPhones. My son wants some JBL speakers, Beats. He wants Beats. Amen. I know they're expensive. I know that much. Amen. Clothes. We all have something that we own. And think about what you own this morning. What's most important to you of that which you own and that which you possess? Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your car. Someone say, well, it's my husband. It's my wife. Amen. Well, if you want to call it that, amen. Maybe it's some money you've got. Maybe it's a television. Maybe it's your basketball skills, your football skills. Maybe it's your looks. Amen. What do you have that's most important to you that you own? I had this happen to me before. This wasn't most important to me, but we brought my dad out to the house to celebrate his birthday years ago. And my dad came out here enjoying the temperature, enjoying everything. My wife and I said, we're going to take dad bike riding. So, of course, dad didn't have a bike to ride, so I gave him one of my bikes, and we went up to Sproul National Monument, and it was chilly that day, so I gave dad one of my sweatshirts. Now, this wasn't any old sweatshirt. This was my Calvary Baptist Church sweatshirt that I had gotten from Belgium. Lady made it for me, had three crosses on it. On the back, it had Brother Dawson. And it said Calvary Baptist Church, Hershey's, Belgium on it. And I was proud of that sweatshirt. And I'd wear that shirt all around. My dad didn't have anything. I said, Dad, wear my sweatshirt. We go up to Sproul National Monument and we're riding there. It had just rained not too long ago. And as we were going up and down the hills, amen, there was a big puddle of water that was down there in the street. And so I made sure I avoided that water. My wife made sure she avoided that water. And my dad saw that water, and he lifted up his legs like this and said, "Wee!" and went right through the water. I looked back. I said, "Dad, that's my bike! And that's my sweatshirt! And I got a big black mark of dirt all on my sweatshirt, and my bike is dirty." You know what I was saying? What? Know you not that that's my bike? Know you not that that's my sweatshirt, which you have of me, and it's not your own? So you need to do right with my bike and my sweatshirt that's not your own and glorify me with that. Make me look good with that. My dad just kind of said, ha, 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 he knows not what he saith. Amen. And my wife was kind of like, Greg, I can't believe you said that to your dad. No, I didn't say all that to my dad. But I did say, Dad, what are you doing? My wife said, leave him alone. He's having fun. I'm like, if I'd have did that when I was a kid, he'd have whooped me. But now it's okay for him to do it. And he had just a hee-ha, hee-wee. My bike was dirty, filthy with mud. My white, did I say white, sweatshirt was dirty with a black line up it. I'm thinking, shout ain't going to shout that out. And it was mine. And I thought, I cannot believe he just did that. I can't believe he did that. Paul is writing to this church. You know what Paul is saying? Exactly what I said to my dad. I can't believe you just did that. I can't believe you don't know that this is property that belongs to me, Dad. What are you doing? Paul is saying, I cannot believe that you don't know that you're the property of God. He owns you. I cannot believe that you, as a church at Corinth, cannot believe that. And I have to wonder what my dad thought about when I said that statement. Boy, the times that I wanted to say that to you. Sometimes he did say it to me. Boy, that ain't yours. You broke that. Come here. You got money to pay for that? No. Okay, let's take it out someplace else. You don't want that. Paul is looking to this church in disbelief, like, I cannot believe you don't know whose property you are. We covered last week and we talked about the things that were going on here in this book and how the things were going on in this chapter and chapter number 6 here. We saw in verses 1-8 last week, the problems that were discussed here, they were suing each other in court. Notice verse number 2 and 3 here in this book here. It says, do you not know that the saints should judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And so we saw last week they were suing each other in court. And Paul said, don't you know that there's a bigger picture here that we're going to be judging the angels? Then in verses 9-14, he was talking about the personal practices that they had going on in the church. There was sin in the congregation. Notice verse number 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, don't you know this? Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, wait a minute, don't you know that these type of people are not heaven-bound and hell-proof? Don't you know that their lifestyle and their character dictates otherwise? By the way, can some of us that are saved commit some of those sins? Yes, notice verse number 11, and such were some of you. He said, you guys used to be the same way. But remember, you're saved now, and so you shouldn't act that way. And then down there in verses 15 through 20, we saw the personal purity that was discussed there. They were sensual in their conduct in the congregation. Notice verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For the two saith he should be one flesh. He said, when you get involved in sensual conduct and immoral conduct, don't you know that that's not right? Why? Ownership. Ownership. Notice what he says down in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, look, wait a minute. You've got to recognize something. You've got to know that you're the property of God. Our bodies are the houses of the Holy Spirit who lives in us from God, and we don't belong to ourselves. He says in verse number 19, don't you know you're purchased by God? For ye are bought with a price. Verse 20. He says, don't you know you're the property of God? You're purchased by God. You're bought with a price. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The most expensive thing in entire being, universe, world, whatever you want to say, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? It can take a sinner like you and me and make us clean. Nothing else can do that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can make you and I clean, that clean. Where we can stand before Almighty God in the name of Jesus, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can do that is the precious blood. And so Paul says, hey, what? Don't you know you're the property of God? You've been purchased by God. And so the logical conclusion is the end of verse number 20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, therefore, as a result of what I just said in verse number 19, as a result of being purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only logical conclusion then is to glorify God. By the way, the only logical conclusion for you and I who are born again is to glorify God. Only logical conclusion. You ever notice how some people can wear certain things? By the way, to glorify God means to make God look good. You ever notice how somebody can wear the same thing that you wear and it looks bad on them and looks good on you? Or you ever notice how you can buy something and it'll look bad on you but look good on them? And so you take it at home and you don't wear it again because it looked bad on them or it looked bad on you? There are certain people that can have Jesus Christ in them and somebody else have Jesus Christ in them, and Jesus looks good on one and he looks bad on the other. Both of them are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Both of them call themselves being saved, but one looks better with Christ than the other looks. When I say looks, I mean behavior-wise. One acts like a Christian. One acts like a crazy person. One acts like they're God-bought. The other one acts like they're devil-sent. Amen? And it just seems to go like that. But both claim Jesus Christ. Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own? He said, as a result, glorify God in your body. He's gone through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. He comes to chapter 6. He said, don't you know this? Hey, brethren, do we know that? Do we know that we belong to God? By the way, we talked about this last week. Our children, we don't own our children. They're our sons and our daughters. And so we can be in the sonship. Where's sonship at? There it is, amen. And that's a different type of relationship. That deals with a nurturing relationship or a rearing relationship, a personal relationship. Ownership deals with personal possession. I own you. Now, say, preacher, we're not in the days of slavery anymore. You're right. We're voluntarily servants. Amen. We're voluntary servants. We are under the ownership of Almighty God. And we say, Lord, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, because I want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, send me. Paul said, that's the way it should be. But instead, it's what? Don't you know you're not your own? And so as you deal with this, Paul says in verse 20, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Others can wear the same clothes that you and make them look good, or maybe make them look bad. You and I are the road signs and the road markers that people see Jesus through. And so the question is, are you glorifying God? Are you making God look good through your life? Matthew 5:16, which is our church verse, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know what that means? Making God look good by what you do. And he says, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Philippians 2:15 puts it this way, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God in the sonship, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Notice this, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's our goal. Our goal is to shine. Our goal is to glorify God. Our goal is to make God look good. And preacher, how do I make God look good? I'm so glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about for the next several minutes. How can you and I make God look good by glorifying God? All of us want to do it. Amen. I have no doubt that the Corinthian church wanted to do it. I had no doubt in my mind that they set off on their course as they sailed on their ownership and saying, I want to make God look good. But we talked about it last week. What happened? They allowed their minds to think on things that were not right. And so they began to do things that were not good. Amen. And every time you and I think on that which is not right, we will do that which is wrong. Somebody say amen. You can't think on the wrong things and do the right thing. It doesn't work that way. Your flesh wants to do wrong, too bad. Nobody's flesh in here wants to do right. Let's just admit it. We don't want to do God's will. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to listen to what it wants to listen to. It wants to say what it wants to say. It wants to go where it wants to go. It wants to be what it wants to be. And it does not want to be subject to God. In other words, the flesh says, nobody owns me. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I'm my own person. I do my own things. Well, your own things will cause you to be in a lot of world hurt. And you'll be going down the wrong road. God doesn't need our help in glorifying him. People just have to look at the stars and see that. They just have to look at the universe and see that. They just need to look at the birds and see that. They just need to look at the sun and see that. They just need to look out of the window and see the wind and see the trees and know that that's God. And God is good. And so God doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. And he wants people to see him through us. God doesn't need our help, but it sure adds when the world sees God through our lives and how we act and respond and work daily. So how can we glorify God? How can we make God look good in our lives? Bible states specifically several times how we can glorify God. We're only going to look at maybe three or four of them today. Number one, what's the first way we can glorify God or make God look good? We can glorify God by our speech. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. You're in chapter and 1 Corinthians. Now turn back to your left to Romans. How can we make God look good? We can glorify God by our speech. Romans 15 and notice verse number 6. In Romans chapter 15, notice verse number 6. And notice how this reads here. He says, that ye may with one, what? Mind and one, what? Mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's speaking collectively of the church there. They would have the same mind and speak the same things and be able to glorify God. But let's make it a little bit more personal. You can't think on that which is wrong in your mind and have your mouth obey that which is right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think on in your mind, your mouth is going to say. So if filth comes in your mind, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Filth, amen. He said, one mind, one mouth, glorify God. What am I saying? I can make God look good by my speech. What do you say to others? How do you speak to your mother? How do you speak to your father? How do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your sisters? How do you speak to your brothers? How do you speak to your coworkers? How do you speak to people at the supermarket when they do you wrong? Amen. Hey, one mind, one mouth, what did he say? Glorify God. Make God look good by what you said. Jesus never said a cross word. Do you know that? Yeah. Never said a cross word. Amen. But I tell you what, if your mind's not in the right place, you're going to think all kind of wrong things. We can use our minds and our mouth to make God look good. Amen. I've got an acronym that I heard a while back. The acronym is THINK. And it stands for, is it true? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So with my mind and my mouth, do I make God look good? Do I speak that which is true? Do I think that which is true? Do I think that which is honest? Do I speak that which is honest? Do I speak that which is inspiring? Do I think that which is inspiring? Do I think that which is necessary and that which is kind? By the way, if you run that through each and every time, you won't say half the foolishness that you say. You won't think half the foolishness that you think. Say, preacher, how do you know that? I'm guilty. When I don't think right, wrong stuff comes out of my mouth all the time. But when my mind is right and stayed on God, guess what? Right things seem to come out. Say, imagine that. Imagine that. He said, one mind, one mouth. Glorify God. I can make God look good in my speech. Number two, by the way, check your speech. How was your speech last week? How'd you talk to your mom? How'd you talk to your dad? How'd you talk to your teachers? How'd you talk to the clerk at the cash register when they were fumbling and bumbling? How'd you talk to the person behind you that ran into you with their shopping cart? How'd you talk to the person that took your parking spot? How'd you talk to that person that littered and let their dog go in your yard and leave some things of destruction? How'd you speak to that person? How'd you speak this week? Hey, one mind, one mouth. If my mind is stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? My mouth is going to speak for Jesus Christ, and I will make God look good, and God will be glorified. But if I don't have my mind stayed on Jesus Christ, my mouth will not glorify God. It doesn't work that way. And so Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? Therefore, glorify God. Make him look good in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. Starts with my speech. Number two, we can glorify God by our suffering. Oh, preacher, let's not go there. We're not in a hardship yet. Where's the hardship at? We're not in a hardship yet, but still, you can make God look good by your suffering. Amen. Go to 1 Peter with me in chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. What am I talking about? How can we make God look good? How can we glorify God? Number one, by our speech. Number two, by our suffering. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I want to start reading in verse number 15 of 1 Peter chapter number 4. Notice what he says here. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Say, preacher, see, I'm not guilty of murder. By the way, did you tarnish someone's testimony or their name? Then you're a murderer, basically. Did you take some young girl's purity or some young man's purity? Then you murdered their virginity. You murdered their purity. You're a murderer. Well, but I didn't do any flesh and blood. There are more ways to murder than one. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that. I'm just being honest with you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, taking that which doesn't belong to you, or as an evildoer that's doing wrong, or as a busybody, what is that? Poking your nose in people's problems that don't belong to you, amen. By the way, don't you have enough problems of your own that you got to put your nose in somebody else's problem? Well, let me see what Sister Eggwhite's doing over here. Ooh, look at her. Ooh, he's doing all that filthy stuff. Ooh, ooh, look at Brother Eggshine over there. Ooh, look at him. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, he got, oh, let me tell you what happened, Barbara. Oh, he did this, he did that. Oh, ooh, I tell you, look at how bad they are over there. Don't you got enough of your own problems? A busybody wants to be in everybody's business but their own. Poking their nose where it doesn't belong. By the way, when you're poking your nose in somebody else's business, you can't possibly be tending to your own. You know it's true. He said, wait a minute, don't suffer this way. A busybody in another man's matters. He said, yet if any man suffer as a what? Christian. What does that mean? Christ-like. Making God look good. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. What is he saying? My people need to be right first. And if it begin first at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? He said, my people need to be judged first, and they need to get right and show me to the world. Amen. Hey, what am I saying here? I'm making God look good. Amen. By the way, God is probably glorified most as our owner when you and I suffer as a Christian like Job did. When we suffer as a Christian, it's easy to suffer for my own sins. It's easy to suffer for wrongdoing. But when you suffer for doing right, that's tough. When you're the innocent party, that's tough. When you have to go through a hardship and it's none of your fault. When people do things and you have to bear the brunt of that, that's hard. But God looks best when we suffer that way. Why? He gives us more grace that way. And that's the toughest way to suffer. Ask yourself, in suffering, do I show others the glory of God or the gloom of the world? Do people see how good God is or how bad life is when I suffer as a Christian? By the way, if I'm suffering as a Christian, that means I'm suffering for Christ, doing the will of God. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing what God. But did Joseph suffer as a saint of God? Yes, he did. Did he do anything wrong? Didn't do a thing wrong. He's just living for God. Did Job suffer as a saint of God? Yes, he did. Did he do anything wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He's just living for God. There have been many biblical characters that suffered doing right, and so as a result, God looks good in their life. What am I saying here? Paul said, what? Don't you know this? That you have to glorify God. And one way is with your speech. Another way is with your suffering, because the world wants to know, what does the Christian do when they lose it all? What does the Christian do when they go through the divorce? What does the Christian do when they lose their job? What does the Christian do when their children go astray? What does the Christian do when they're battered and bruised and beat up? What does the Christian do when their parents abuse them? What does the Christian do when he has to file bankruptcy? What does the Christian do when he has no job? What does the Christian do when his health goes down? What does the Christian do when? Because I want to see how good your God really is. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits. Suffering is one of the greatest ways that you and I can make God look good, because nobody likes to suffer. I don't see anybody signing up on a voyage on the hardship. Hey, give me a ticket to the hardship. I want to go. Beat me, flog me. Yeah, let's go. No, I don't see anybody doing that. I don't see anybody saying, I want to lose my job. I want to lose my health. I want to lose my husband. I want to lose my wife. I want to lose my kids. I want to lose it all for Jesus' sake. I don't see anybody signing up for that. But guess what? It happens in the Christian life. And we're glorifying God when it happens. What did he say down there? Yet if any man, verse 16, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. God is probably glorified most as our owner when we suffer as a Christian. Number three, this is the third way we can glorify God. Not only glorify God by our speech, one mind and one mouth glorify God. Not only with our suffering, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But then thirdly, we can glorify God by our subjection to the gospel. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And this is the area that we normally get faith promise from. But I want to bring out a verse here. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, the verse that I'm going to use is speaking of an offering that was given to the saints in Jerusalem. And the saints in Jerusalem are praising God for the subjection unto the gospel that this Christian crowd make. Come down here to verse number 13 with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, meaning they were giving, they glorify God for what? Your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. What is that saying? In a nutshell, what they're saying is that you acted like you were saved. You acted like you were saved in such a way that you gave. Liberal distribution. You gave. And you didn't just give to us. You gave to everybody that needed. What am I saying? You and I glorify God when we give the way God wants us to give. He says, glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel. In other words, you act like you're a Christian. You act like you received the gospel. The gospel is good news. You act like Jesus did because Jesus gave. Jesus says, freely you have received, so freely what? Give. What did Paul say? It's better to what? Give than to receive. You act like a Christian. There's nothing worse than a stingy Christian. Got one amen. Tightwad Christians. That God freely blessed and gave, and then now, well, I don't want to give any of my money because you might do something with it. Why do you give people money? So they can do something with it. Amen. Well, you might not do with it what I wanted you to do with it. What have you given it to them? That's their business, what they do with it. Amen. But you'd be surprised at folks that do not want to give. He said, profess subjection unto the gospel. You acted like you were saved. Amen. By the way, when you and I show Jesus in our actions to help others, Jesus' seal of ownership is clearly seen by others. Jesus often helped those who could not help him nor repay him. But he also helped those who could help him, even though they could not repay him. He still helped them as well. Jesus was not afraid to help the rich. He was not afraid to help the poor. He gave eyesight. He gave speaking abilities. He gave walking abilities. He raised the dead. He healed leprosy. He fed people. He saved them. Amen. He helped multitudes without payment at all. You know what payment Jesus Christ asks from you? Nothing but being a servant of Almighty God. That's why he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So glorify God. What is he saying? Give yourself to God and let God use you. What am I saying? They were glorifying God for their subjection to the gospel. They were acting like they were saved. Ask yourself this question. Do you act like you're a child of God? And then go a step further. Do you act like you're a child of God all the time or just when it's convenient? Well, around certain people, I don't want them to know I'm a Christian because they might call me names. Yeah. Well, they call you a Christian, so be it. Now, they call you a devil, then that's different. You're acting wrong, amen? But are you the same? Are you consistent? Do people see that you're saved? Do you walk it? Do you breathe it? Do you preach it? Do you teach it? Do they see that you are a Christian? Subjection to the gospel. Then lastly, we can glorify God by our speech. One mind and one mouth glorify the Lord. Glorify God. We can glorify God by our suffering. He said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, then we can glorify God by our subjection. He says, they glorify God for your professed subjection. And then lastly, we can glorify God by our service. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. Glorify God by our service. By the way, if God owns you, does he expect you to serve him? Yes. By the way, children, let me get your attention for a minute. Your parents don't own you, but you're a son or a daughter. Do you know that your parents expect you to work around the house? They expect you to do that? Well, I don't want to do that. Well, get out and get your own place and pay your own bills and get your own cable bill, get your own gas bill, get your own electric bill, get your own washer, get your own dryer, get your own car, pay your own rent. Buy your own food, wash your own clothes, iron them too. Well, I don't want to do all that. Well, whose house are you in? Yes, sir. Well, it's ours. I don't see your name on the deed. Yes, well, you got to be there somewhere. Read the fine print. Children act like they own the house. Well, I don't have to do anything. I can lay back and eat bonbons. What? You want to watch a TV that you didn't buy. You want to dial up cable that you don't pay for. You want to use the website that you don't pay for. You want to go to this place over here with gas you didn't pay for and a car you didn't pay for with insurance you didn't pay for. And you want us to buy clothes that you're going to mess up and get a hole in, shoes that you're going to wear out, eat some food that you say you don't like. No. Children, when you're in the home, guess what? You're not your own. You don't do what you want to do. I put my pants on like daddy. That'll make you daddy.
People, I'm 19, 20, 21 years old. Get your own place then. I'm just saying. We act like we own the house sometimes. I don't have to do anything around here that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You would be out of a house real quick. Well, I don't have to follow your rules. Well, get out. You'll follow somebody else's. You don't follow somebody's. What am I saying? Hey, we act like sometimes the ownership that parents have over their things, that we can join in that ownership, but you didn't pay for those things, but you need to take care of those things. Amen. I still go back to my dad. I said, Dad, that's my bike. That's my sweatshirt. I was saying, I bought that. My dad could have came back and said, I bought everything else until you turned 21, boy. Amen. Even pay for your school for 1 year. Say, well, Dad, you was trying to get rid of me then. No, he wasn't trying to get rid of me. What am I saying? We can glorify God by our service. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says down there, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. What? Unto him, I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse here. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your what? Good works. Which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, you know what? As a Christian, your work should be so good that even if people talk about you and speak evil of you, they can see God is your owner by what you do, by how you do it. Jesus said this in John 5:17. He said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. John 9:4. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. What am I saying here? He said, they're going to glorify God because of your good works. They may say what you're doing is evil, but they have not a leg to stand on because it is right. They want to call you evil for living for God. Let them call you evil. They want to call you evil for being pure in your lifestyle. Let them call you evil. They want to call you evil because you don't watch certain programs. Let them call you evil. They want to call you evil because you say, look, I'm not kissing no boy. I'm not kissing no girl. I'm not putting my hands on nobody. I'm not getting involved in fornication. Let them call you evil. Amen. He said, they may speak evil of you, but they cannot deny your good works. They cannot deny your service. Why? I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. Notice verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. He said, don't get involved with things that are going to make you lust. He said, then having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the non-saved, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they say your good is bad and your bad is good. They may by your good works, which they shall behold. What is that? Making God look good. They see, they glorify God. The day of visitation. What am I saying? Let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you make God look good? He told this church at Corinth, he said, I know you're saved. I've got no doubt in my mind that you're saved. But then he told them, but you don't act like it. He says, what don't you know? 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 Your job and my job and Corinth's job is to make God look good. The world doesn't see Jesus. They can only see Jesus in you. And if that is true, what do they see in you? Who do they see in you? Who do they see in your service? Who do they see in your subjection? Who do they see in your speech? Who do they see in your suffering? All four of those areas say you can glorify God by your speech, by your suffering, by your service, by your subjection to the gospel. You act saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved today? If you're saved, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should be glorifying God. And if you're not, you should come and say, Lord, help me in this area. Lord, help me in that area. Lord, my speech is not what it needs to be. Lord, my service is not what it needs to be. Lord, I'm not subject to the gospel. I don't do exactly what you have me to do in my giving and helping others. Lord, I have a problem struggling with my ownership. I know you bought me. I know I belong to you, but I'm struggling with this area. Maybe it's my purity. Maybe it's my thought process, but I'm struggling. Maybe you need to ask God to help you today. If you're here without Jesus Christ, let us help you. We can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll show you how to be saved through the Bible. If you're a woman, we'll show you how to be saved by the Bible. But you've got to see that you must receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you transfer into the sonship. You become a son of God. And God owns you because he bought you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you belong to Jesus today, why don't you tell him in prayer, Lord, help me to be better under your authority. Lord, help me to be better, knowing that you own me. Lord, help me to do better. I don't do so well when I suffer. Lord, I don't do so well in my speech. Lord, I don't do so well in my service. Lord, I don't do so well in these areas. By the way, he already knows. He owns you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around just for a moment. Father, bless now this invitation time. Lord, I have no doubt in my mind that some of us need work in our speech. Some of us need work probably in our suffering. Some of us probably need work in our subjection to the gospel and acting like we're saved. Some of us probably need work in our service and our good works. But Lord, we want people to see that we belong to you. We want your seal of ownership to be upon us. And four times the Bible says these are things that we can do to glorify God. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. And Lord, be with that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's not sure they're a Christian today. They're not sure if they die, they go to heaven. Give them the understanding that they must be born again. Thank you for loving us. Now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're looking around right where you're at, seated. Please don't look around, but just want to know, do you want help in receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you do, just ask you to raise your hand. Nobody is looking but me. Raise your hand high. I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I would like to receive Christ. I'm curious about that. Would you pray for me? And right where you're at, you raise your hand high up so I can see it. Put it back down. Preacher, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. The next Christian is up to you. Do you know that you've been bought with a price? Is your speech what it needs to be? Is your suffering what it needs to be? Is your submissiveness to the gospel what it needs to be? Is your service what it needs to be? Can people see Jesus in your life? And if not, why don't you ask Jesus to help you today? Father, thank you now for your goodness. Lord, I pray for everyone that's under the sound of my voice that they would do what they need to do for Jesus' sake and be what they need to be for the glory of God, that others may see their good works. And Lord, glorify you in heaven. Thank you so much for owning us and paying for us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now bless these Christians that need to make decisions, and maybe one that is lost with a decision that they need to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one is looking around as the music plays for the invitation. Maybe God spoke in your heart. You need to move. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, all looking around. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Maybe you need to come and pray for a loved one. Maybe someone is not realizing the ownership of God in their life. Maybe it's a man, woman, boy, or girl. But the ownership is just not there. It's not seen, it's not sensed. Maybe you say, God help me. I can be better in my speech. I want to say the right things to those around me. I want to think on the right things in my mind. Maybe I'm suffering. But I want to suffer that others can see Jesus through my sufferings. Others would have a closer walk with him because of what I'm suffering right now.
Maybe I want people to see that I'm submissive to the gospel. I'm going to help others. Freely I have received, freely I'm going to give. Maybe you might say, preacher, I'm not serving the way I should. I know there's something that I can do. There's more that I can do. I want God to be glorified, look good by my good works. If you're not saved here today, if you're not sure that heaven is your home, we want to help you. You're amongst people that love you. Why don't you come, let us share in the Bible how you can be saved today. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's for you, sir. That's for you, ma'am. Now, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for you. God doesn't want for you to perish. He wants to give you everlasting life. But you've got to see that you need it. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of no sins is death. And you need to receive Christ and payment for your sin. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. Why don't you come? Let us show you in the Bible why you should be baptized. And what that next step is all about. What you can do. We had one last week. Maybe God would have you to be next. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm baptized scripturally, but I've never joined this church. I know this is where God wants me to be. Maybe you need to come and let us talk to you about joining this church, what it requires, what you need to do. Maybe it's just an area of service that God wants you to be in. Would you serve him? Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, which is in you. You're not your own. You bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which you got. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for owning us. Lord, enabling us to make you look good. Lord, we may not always make you look good in our lives, but Lord, I pray that you would help us be more effective in making you look good, that when others see us, they can truly see Jesus in our speech, in our suffering, in our service, in our submissiveness to you, Lord. We're doing what you want us to do, and help us to be a good reflection of Jesus, where they can say, that person, that man, that woman, that boy or girl must surely be a Christian. They must be a child of God. By the way they behave, they make God look good. Lord, help us in our areas where we're weak. Help us to turn those areas over to you, because nothing is impossible. We put our trust in you. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the kind of Christians that you want us to be, knowing that we are owned by you. You bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, lead us the rest of this week, guide us, and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. Amen. Pastor White is going to come very quickly, give us our announcements for today, and then we're back here at 5 o'clock tonight. Pastor White.